Welcome to Everyday Finance and Economics with the Siglers, the podcast where we discuss what you need to know about personal finance and economics and give you practical advice on how to get started and be smart with your money.
We're your hosts, Glenn
and Christina
Sigler. So, Christina, what's going on in the economy this week?
All right, here's what matters this week. The Suez Canal is blocked, and that is a major problem. The Suez Canal is a very, very narrow man-made canal that connects the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea, and that's how 12% of all the world shipping gets from Europe to Asia. It's a very important waterway. Because before that, you had to go around the southern tip of Africa to get things from Europe to Asia, and that's just really not convenient for anyone. So it's responsible for about $3 to $9 billion worth of goods per day. And right now it's blocked by the 1,300 foot, 200,000 metric ton ship, the Ever Given. And there's a lot of ships backed up in the Suez Canal right now. And some companies have even decided to send their ships around the Cape of Good Hope. Around the southern tip of Africa, which adds weeks to the journey and is very, very expensive. So this is going to end up raising the prices at least a little, and it could be a lot depending on how long it takes the Ever Given to get unstuck. Because right now they're trying to, like, dig and expand the hole, but it's a very large ship. And the economic term of this episode is a tax credit. A tax credit is a tax incentive which allows certain taxpayers to subtract the amount of the credit that they have accrued from the total that they owe to the state. So it's something that lets you deduct the amount of tax that you owe, basically. All right, Dad, I think it's time to get into this week's topic. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about taxes again.
Really? Again? All right. Well, let's give our listeners a little bit of a recap from last week, because last week was a lot. And the first question is, what are taxes? The answer, taxes are our contributions to fund the federal and state governments for the services and support that we require as citizens.
And the process of filing our taxes is simply when you think of the basics. For all of us who are wage and salary earners, our employers send the government some of our wages each pay period for our tax applications. Completing your tax forms allows us to calculate how much we should owe in taxes based on our income and living situation. This allows us to compare what has already been paid into the government on our behalf and how much we really owe. If we paid in more than we owe, we get a refund. If we owe more than has already been paid, we have a tax bill. And that's it.
Okay, well, last time we discussed how to complete our taxes. Can you remind us of that again?
Okay, there are three ways to complete your tax forms. One is fully manually. That's the hard way. Download your tax forms you need and instructions. Go to the IRS website, www.irs.gov. Fill them out. Forms are also available at the post office, public libraries. This can be hairy for many, but there are publications and online resources to help.
And our podcast. Our podcast is also available.
Our podcast is one of those resources.
And this option is free. Let's just not forget to mention that.
That is true.
It's very important.
Software. Software or online filing tools. TurboTax, H&R Block, TaxAct, TaxSlayer, Jackson Hewitt are among the many tools that can be used to complete your taxes. These tools typically walk you through the forms in an interview/questionnaire approach, and it even includes additional guidance and the details of the rules within the software online tool to help you. The last and probably the easiest method for everybody is just gather all your stuff and hand it off to a tax professional. You're going to spend your time just gathering your information. But then after that, your interview with the individual about your living situation allows you to rest at ease because someone who does taxes for a living is now completing your taxes. Mm. The options go from the least expensive to the most expensive.
Right.
But there are even some free options. And if you've got simple situations, you can even file online for free.
Yeah. Okay, so what are the tax forms like, actually? Like, what is it like to fill one out? Is it just like a questionnaire or what?
Yeah, if you're completing your taxes manually or through the software online, it's similar to completing a questionnaire each year. The first section is your personal information. Your name, where you live, social security number, filing status, and things of that nature. The second section is where you input all your income data. W-2 from each company you work for, 1099s, financial statements from your investments activities and for your bank accounts. After that, you're going to put in your deductions, whether you're going to use the standard deduction or you're going to itemize deduction. That comes in here. This year, for the vast majority of people, you're going to use the standard deduction. Roughly 85 to 90% of all people use the standard deduction. For single individuals, it's $12,400. For married folks filing jointly, it's $24,800. The sum of your income less your deductions results in your taxable income.
Less means minus.
Yes.
You subtract it.
Yes. Tax software calculates this stuff automatically. Manual paper filers, you're going to have to do some math. You bring a calculator. And there are also tax tables and schedules within the instructions to help you if you're doing it manually.
A nice, helpful chart.
After that comes identification of any tax credits for which you qualify. And that takes a little bit of research because there's a lot of different tax credits. So you'll have to, read through and research whether you qualify for those items. Some of the more popular ones we'll discuss a little bit later. Remember, tax credits are direct reductions of the amount of taxes you owe. So if it said you owed $5,000 in taxes and you have a $600 credit, your tax gets reduced by $600. Okay. After that, it's just math. How much has already been paid in through withholding versus how much you owe.
And this is withheld from like your paycheck, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And so when you do that comparison, you've either had, more money withheld, so you get a refund, or you've had less money withheld. And you have to pay the IRS a little bit of money.
It's never exactly right, is it?
For most people, it's never exactly right on, but you want to be close. Mm-hmm. That's your goal, to be close. Most people have more withheld than they're going to owe in taxes.
Okay.
So you're not going to get a bad surprise. But the question that you have to ask yourself is, why are you having that much withheld? Because it's an interest-free loan to the federal government. Mm-hmm. And so you want that to be close.
Yeah, yeah. And this is just a reminder, everybody, that tax day for 2021 for taxes for the previous year of 2020 is on May 17th this year. It is not April 15th like it normally is. It is on May 17th. So your taxes are due May 17th this year. What resources are available to help if I get stuck or need more information?
Okay. There are a lot of resources available for help. Again, online, www.irs.gov. You can call the IRS. Now, that said, yes, you can. Well. That said, there can be some very long wait times when you try to call the IRS during tax season.
Yeah, it's a long automated system.
But you can talk to the folks and you can get real live folks to help you. Additionally, tax calculators are available, as I said before, online from, various, some of the various software providers, and also embedded in those tools, are things that can answer questions or even get you in touch with a tax professional through the software. And then, of course, there's always YouTube. There are literally dozens of YouTube videos out there to help folks walk through some of these tax forms.
Probably more than that. Like hundreds.
Probably, but I couldn't look at all of them. So yeah. I just took a look at a few of them. And they, you know, they do a good job of walking you through the forms. You got to find one that, that speaks to you, that's teaching you the forms in a way that you can understand that. Uh-huh. But that, that's also a resource that's available. And there's volunteers out there as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dad. With everything that is deemed as mandatory, there's that one eternal question, which is, do I have to? Do I have to file taxes?
In general, if you make less than $12,400 in salary and wages
per year,
mm-hmm. for 2020, you don't have to. Now, that's going to leave money on the table, you know, because if you earn less than that amount of money, you would likely get virtually all of that money back in refunds. Mm. And so that's, you know, that's really one of the reasons you want to file your taxes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So why does the IRS have us file basic income tax information when they know how much we make? I get it for people with like complex tax returns, but not for just a normal income tax. Why can't they just send me a refund or a tax bill?
So there's a lot of truths in that. So employers are required to send in your information when they send you your tax information. They're mm-hmm. also sending the IRS your tax information, so the IRS can really figure out how much you earned in salary and wages. Mm-hmm. But they may not be fully aware of the life situations that create changes in our taxes. Mm-hmm. Changes in marital status, job status, living situation, birth of kids, charitable deductions, and many more all impact our tax situation. You, as the filer, have a vested interest to make sure that those things are up to date so that you can minimize the tax that you owe. Because if the IRS, does that for you, you might not like the results. They might not include all the things that would benefit you in terms of minimizing your taxes. So you don't have to do it, but you have a vested interest to do it. Mm-hmm. This is your opportunity to get it right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who shouldn't file for taxes?
So that's an interesting question. Who shouldn't file
for taxes? Yeah, because I feel like, well, for me, I shouldn't file for taxes because I don't make any money. But all right, who else shouldn't file?
All right, so that is, if you make less than $12,400 per year without other sources of income from trading or investments, you may want to consider not filing. Uh-huh. Notice I said consider. Example. If you're single and earned only $6,000 a year and you get a W-2 that indicates only $25 were withheld from your income, mm-hmm. you might want to consider if it's worth your time to file a tax form to get back $25.
Yeah, yeah.
But each individual has to answer that question. Would you file a taxes if $50 were withheld, or $150 were mm-hmm. withheld, or $300? Where would you file, Christina?
To me, any money at this point is money that I need. It's the college student mentality, but I guess what you're saying is it matters like how much the money on the table means to you,
right?
Like how much do you need it versus how much do you need your time back,
right?
And the value of money.
Right. Well, that is true.
Yeah.
But by not filing, you're essentially gifting this money to the IRS and federal government. The time trade-off might be worth it to you. So that's the bigger thing that you have to consider. Uh-huh. Now, as I said before, if there are there might be situations where the IRS may think, hey, you made more money than $12,400 last mm-hmm. year. So we think you owe a lot more taxes. If you file your taxes, you're putting on the record, here's how much money I made from all my sources. Mm. And that, you know, essentially reduces that possibility of the IRS saying, hey, you owe a whole lot more money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do I need to file for taxes?
Okay, so we talked about this last time a little bit, but we'll recap.
Quick recap.
Personal identification information, name, Social Security number, address, filing status. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Your income information, salary and wages from all your W-2s from all your workplaces, bank or financial institution statements, including gains and losses from any trading activities you had, miscellaneous income information, all your Form 1099s and 1098s. 1098s are things for college students. Hey, you went to college, 1098. Sometimes your parents might be using that instead of you. Mm. And any self-employment information. Did you do any gig work?
Okay, like and, Uber, and stuff right. like that. Do you use my 1098, Dad?
I do.
Oh, wait, I sent it to you. Yeah.
Yes, you did send me your 1098. I have your 1098.
Like, I don't need that. That must be for Dad.
Now, if you itemize, you might need additional information.
Mm-hmm.
So medical expenses, information on medical expenses, charitable donations and cash and goods, home ownership information. Did you pay property tax on your house?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any mortgage interest on your house? And then any state taxes that you paid, sales or income tax, property taxes. And then of course you're going to need the tax forms.
Yeah.
So that in a nutshell are the things that would be needed by the majority of the folks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got more complex tax situations, you're obviously going to need some additional information.
Wait, sales tax, like receipts for buying stuff?
You can do it that way. There's actually a couple of ways to do it. You can actually sum up the sales tax from everything that you bought.
Oh, so every single receipt.
Every single thing. That's one way to do it.
You could.
But there are also the IRS has calculators that say, okay, if you made this much money.
You probably spent
mm-hmm. this much and mm-hmm. the sales tax would be this.
Did you ever do the save receipt method, Dad?
I have not done that.
Yeah, that seems like too much.
Now,
every single time I bought food.
No. So I'm not doing that.
No.
But there are, if you buy big ticket items, there's essentially a blended method where you can say, I spent all this money on these big ticket items, and then the rest,
you're going to estimate, yeah. So, like, you bought a Maserati.
No, I did not.
Well, I mean, but that has a lot of sales tax, though.
I'm sure it does, but yeah. I would not know.
It was just an example.
Yeah, your mom would shoot me.
I wonder what, yeah, don't ever do that. Nope, anyway,
not happening.
So let's move on to a subject that I think we all can relate to. I've gotten calls from the IRS and I was a minor. So if I get a call from the IRS claiming that I owe money to the IRS, what do I do?
So first of all, I'm going to clarify that statement.
It wasn't from the IRS.
You
I got a call from
claiming
a scam.
You owe money.
A scam. Right. It was a scam. If you get a call from the IRS is not calling you. Let's just make that clear.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of fraud attempts during tax season.
Mm.
The IRS does not call people
first. They don't.
First.
They sure
the
don't.
The IRS, if they're notifying taxpayers,
show up
you're
going to
get a notification via the mail.
Oh.
Not text. Not email, not phone, mm-hmm. not social media,
no.
Mail. If you receive a call or a message claiming that you have to urgently respond for debt collection
Mm-mm.
or that there are going to be some horrible consequences to you for that,
right?
Don't give them your information.
Do not. Don't click on any links.
Don't click on any links
that they send you.
Get off the phone if they're on the phone. If you're on the phone with them,
yeah, hang up immediately.
Report them. Report them to the IRS.
Report that phone number. Yeah.
Do not give out your Social Security number. Do not give out any other details. You're better off just not answering.
the IRS has your address, and they will go through. Because think about it, the Postal Service is like a United States federal government institution.
Well,
so that's official. That's official.
Right. Well, look, that is the method that the IRS uses to contact. They want to have a notice, an official notification record, and you can trace that through the mail.
Trace that through the mail. Yep. Right. All right. So, what are some types of tax credits? We talked about this a little bit earlier, but let's really get into it.
All right. So, again, as you said before, tax credit reduce the amount of tax you owe dollar for dollar, and you may qualify for specific tax credits based on your situation and income level. And there are three, in general, there are three types of tax credits. There are non-refundable tax credits, which can reduce the tax that you owe to zero, but will not allow you to get money back.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And then there's partially refundable, which can provide a refund for some portion of the tax credit if you meet all of the qualifications. Mm. So it may say, hey, we can reduce your income $2,500, reduce your tax $2,500. But if you have zero tax, the credit is, you know, $1,000. So you can only get $1,000 back. And then there are fully refundables, those that are enable a refund of the full amount of the credit if your situation warrants. Some of the more popular tax credits out there, the recovery rebate credit, which is in effect now, part of the American Recovery Plan. And you know, there's a tax credit if you haven't received monies from the stimulus package in January and March, you can claim a tax credit and actually get your money back. You know, it'll either reduce your tax or it can provide you with a refund.
Oh, that was a big problem because like some people got either the first check and didn't get the second one or didn't get any checks, although they qualified. So yeah, that's what you should do. Right. Will it do both the checks or just one?
I think it will do both. But you know, from what I am reading, people are typically only having problems with one or
not both. Okay.
But you know, there are a lot of different situations out there. Mm-hmm. So some other tax credits that are popular, earned income tax credits. If you have extremely low wages while working full time and in certain situations, you can get earned income tax credits, child tax credits, child care or dependent care tax credits, saver tax credits to encourage people to save for retirement, even if they have low income. Energy saving credits to get people to invest in green solar panels and all sorts of things that improve the energy efficiency of their home. You can get a tax credit for that, you know, and also tax credits for senior citizens and foreign tax credit. So if you pay tax, if you make some money that from an international source, sometimes you have to pay taxes to that country. And so your U.S. income tax can get a credit of the amount of tax that you pay to another country.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. What are deductions again? We talked about this a little bit last time.
Tax credits reduce the amount of tax you owe dollar for dollar. Tax deductions reduce the amount of gross income that you have that will reduce the amount that is taxable. Okay. You know, most people, as I said before, most people use the standard deduction, which just requires you to say, hey, I want to use the standard deduction. You don't have to document anything. You just say, I want to use it, and you qualify for that.
Okay.
And again, if you have expenses in favorite categories that exceed the value of the standard deduction, you should itemize.
Okay. So what expense items qualify for deductions?
And just like tax credits where there's lots of them, there are lots of expenses that qualify for deductions. Some of the most popular are student loan interest deductions. So college students should be aware of that. Charitable donation deductions for cash and goods, mortgage interest, medical expenses, state and local tax expenses. If you go into education, educator expense deductions, health savings account deductions, even deductions for contributions to your 401k.
Huh.
Okay. There are often limitations or special qualifications that you must meet to qualify for some of these deductions. For example, an IRA deduction. Not just prove it. You have to meet these situations to qualify to be able to take it. Okay. So for an IRA deduction, you have to work at a place that doesn't have a 401k.
Okay.
So if the place that you work has a 401k, which is
that.
A retirement plan, then you can't use the IRA deduction.
Okay. All right. How much does it cost to do taxes, and are there free services?
Well, for most of us, the complexity of our tax situation will drive costs.
Mm.
Doing your taxes yourself is free.
Yep, sure is.
Software and online tools from the major providers can provide have a variation in the price range.
They have free versions, though.
There are free versions, but they are aimed at the simplest, least complex tax situations.
Okay.
That's
all right.
W-2 wage earners, standard deduction. Yeah, that can be free. But most of the software now starts at about a $45 range in retail, but can go over $100.
For what? Per year?
$45, for that year's. Now, you might get more than one use out of it.
That's right.
If I bought it, then I could use it for mine. I could use it for yours if you're filing independently. And that would work.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot tax preparers.
Yes.
Tax preparers for simple situations, they can be in the 50, 100. Well, it's going to depend on the locale.
Yeah.
They can, but that's going to be the most expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, folks with more complex situations will venture off into that arena where it can actually go into the thousands of dollars.
Mm.
But for most people, even with simple tax situation, it won't cost that much more than the software.
Okay.
Because I'm just going to give you a secret. They use software too.
Oh.
They have software.
Yeah, you're
going to
run some people out of business.
No, I'm not. But they have some different software.
Yeah, they have professional grade software. Okay.
Yeah.
Do I have to file state taxes?
And that answer is going to depend on your state, because not all states have income tax requirements. Now, Florida doesn't, and lots of states that don't.
Mm.
So you're going to have to check with your home state of record to find out what the requirements are.
Okay. What if I work in one state, though, and live in another? Do I have to file two state returns?
Okay. So now you're trying to get complicated on that.
Well,
typically, you're going to be required to pay tax on the income that you earn in each state. So, let's say I live in Tennessee, but I earn my money in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Mississippi has a state income tax, well, I'm going to be required to, pay something in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
States that are on borders where everybody pays tax, they work out arrangements where, all right, if you, earn the money in one state, you don't have to pay the tax twice. There again, like the foreign tax credit, it's sort of like a tax credit for paying your taxes in Mississippi. Then in Tennessee, I wouldn't have to pay the tax.
So, like, you live in Jersey, you work in New York City.
Yeah.
You're paying tax for New York?
They may have an arrangement where you're going to pay some tax to
New Jersey and
to both.
Okay. Yeah. So in that case,
it could be apportioned.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to go check. You got to go check.
50 different rules. What happens though if I don't file my taxes?
If you're due a refund, the IRS will just keep the amount that you were due.
Free donation to the government.
So you have 3 years from the original expected filing date to file and claim any refunds. After that time period, you forfeit any refunds.
Mm.
Yet, if you owe the IRS, they will calculate how much they think you owe
and
send you the bill.
Right.
Remember, by mail.
By mail. By mail. They're not calling you for it.
They're not calling you for it. But this will include any penalties and interest on the unpaid tax bill. Mm. And if you ignore this, the penalty and interest charges can easily outweigh the original tax burden.
And they can come get that. The statute of limitations on that does not expire. We'll just say that.
Yes, that's correct.
And what happens if I can't pay the entire amount?
If you find that you don't have the resources to pay the entire amount, you can contact the IRS and work out a payment plan.
Mm.
They can work with you to create a monthly payment, and it'll include some interest. And from my research, their interest is usually less than loans or credit card interest.
And interest rates are low right now.
Right. And for the record, you can actually put there are ways to put your tax payments on your credit card. And some people do that.
Hmm.
But if you owe, and it's a significant amount and you don't have the money to pay it, you can work out a monthly payment plan with the IRS. And it's always better if you contact them first to work this out.
Don't wait. Don't make them send you again a piece of mail, because that's how they're contacting you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, I don't think there's any more questions
for this week. That's it.
All right. So that's it for our show. I want to thank you all so much for listening. And I'm looking forward to you joining us again, where we will discuss budgeting.
Yes. And if you have any questions at all for us, you can email us at efespodcast@gmail.com and follow our Instagram at efespodcast on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening.
Take care, everybody.